Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Paul wrote in the epistle, read one of our pre-Lenten Sundays, "Now we know in part." We know only in part. We don't know everything. And surely, sometimes in life, it is the not knowing which is the hardest part. Have you ever awakened in the middle of the night, a dark room, and you have no idea where you are? Furthermore, you can't figure out how to get the lights on. And in a panic, you jump out of bed and you knock over a chair and you fall down and all of the rest. You don't know. You're all in darkness. Surely, this not knowing, this darkness wandering, is one of the heaviest constitutive elements of the cross God chooses for us. Take up my cross, take up your cross after me, or else you are not worthy of me. But what cross, Lord? Which do you want me to carry? Which cross, and how long must I carry it? And where? What's our destination? And how ever am I to heft so heavy a load on these sagging shoulders of mine? If only I knew. The cross Christ sends, unanticipated, at least to a certain degree, the cross Christ sends in the end seems beyond us. Could this be, I wonder, God's will for me? It is a cross we would never have chosen for ourselves, and I think it is, more than any other factor, the not knowing, which makes it so heavy and hard to carry. Whether our cross be, consider first of all, some crisis of the body, say sickness. Everything about sickness, from the severity of its symptoms to its diagnosis and its treatment and its ultimate end. Everything about sickness gets us because of the darkness. Of course, doctors aren't gods. They don't know either. They do their best, but they don't know. Only God knows. But still, we want them to know, and we want to know, because it is the not knowing which is sometimes the hardest of all to bear. So too for that other body whose sickness we have borne for so long, the terrible crisis in the mystical body of Christ, the Catholic Church. How many times, more at the beginning, when I was a young priest or even a seminarian, than now, people would ask me in conversation, how could this ever have happened to the church? How could this be? How did this come about? Today, it is true, we have a much better idea of these things. Father Cicada's book answers that very question with facts as sad and sorrowful as they are well researched and impressive. Today's paper in the headlines, 2 out of 3 Catholics this weekend, read Novus Ordo, will not be going to Mass, read Novus Ordo. 2 out of 3 don't go anymore. And the experts don't know why. One has one theory and one has another, but nobody seems really to know the answer. But they do know that 60 years ago, when they first started doing Gallup polls, 75% of Catholics questioned had been to Mass in the last 7 days. And now it is only 45%, and the number is dropping each year. That explains quite a bit, the Novus Ordo does, I mean. But still, there are so many questions. The question of the hour, which people will the more readily discuss, and with a certain kind of a resentment, even. Why is there so little unity among Catholics? Why are the divisions so great? Why is there such a lack of charity, such bitterness at times to characterize these divisions? Well, I'll let you in today on a secret or two, a gospel secret for our day. The gospel means, of course, good news. Our Lady brings it to us. There is no supernatural happening more in accordance with the gospel than the apparitions of Our Lady. This is doubted by some even who claim the name of traditional Catholic, but it is the gospel truth. Each apparition of the Mother of God in modern times exemplifies the gospel truth in some wonderful manner. And the basis of the gospel and the basis of these apparitions is simply diliges, today's last gospel, thou shalt love. The relations of the Creator and the creature, after all, are not governed, as our relations among ourselves, on ideology or compatibility or some other weakness like that. It is love that rules us. It is love that will have, just before justice comes at the judgment, the final word. It is love that came to this world through Our Lady. It is love that is still with us today by Mary. It is love that rules. It was love which moved God to make us and to concern himself with our fate and to send his Son to die for us and to give us the church and the commandments and all of the rest. And it is love that sends Mary in the latter day to us to remind us of simple gospel truths we otherwise forget because we're still reaching for the light, and we've panicked there in the dark. On this day, the 19th of September, 16 years after the apparition of the Rue de Bac, which gave us the miraculous medal, and also in France, in the year 1846 then, the Virgin Mary appeared on a very high mountainside in the Alps, in the southeastern part of France. La Salette, the place is called. She appeared to two little sort of grubby shepherd children whose families weren't so observant and who weren't very careful about saying their daily prayers, Melanie and Maximine. And she told them, she was crying the whole time. She was weeping. She told them about many things that upset her and her son. And she told them, my children, eh bien, mes enfants, she said, my children, you will make sure that these things I'm telling you today are passed on to all my people. And amongst them, one for both children, there was a secret given. There are two elements in this secret, two facts, which are sometimes spoken of today. You will all have heard that phrase, it's used often enough, it is the secret of La Salette. Rome will lose the faith and become the seat of Antichrist. But next, and very importantly, Our Lady said, L'Église sera éclipsée. The church will be eclipsed. What does that mean? The church will be eclipsed. There was a priest, a French priest, the Abbé Combe, who knew Melanie, the little visionary, very, very well. And he wrote, I have it from her, from Melanie, that the church will be eclipsed in this sense. One will not know which is the true pope. For a time, the holy sacrifice will cease to be offered in churches and also in houses. So there will be no more public worship. But she saw that yet the holy sacrifice would not cease. It would be offered in caves, in tunnels, in barns, and in alcoves. Interesting. That has happened to us once before, when we still had the Mass but had no churches, and it will, it seems, happen again at the end when Antichrist comes. Mary's precise and exact words, the church will be eclipsed. The obscurity of the sun when the moon comes over it. That's the definition of an eclipse. When the moon comes between the sun and the earth. Another meaning is any obscurity of light, of fame, or of glory. The church, Christ's mystical body, is eclipsed as the sun was in a miraculous way on Good Friday when our Lord was crucified in his physical body at Calvary. And when he died, there was a pagan historian, Eusebius. He writes very specifically, says, in the fourth year of the 202nd Olympiad, there occurred the greatest eclipse ever known. Of course, the church is eclipsed because Christ, the mystical Christ, has been crucified and has died. And now he lies buried in the tomb, and as at an eclipse, all is darkness and all is silence. There is no light. Well, there's the moon. The moon, some might take for the sun. It gives off a faint light and it's up there in the sky, but it's not the sun. Well, there's the conciliar church. It gives off a faint light, sort of an aura sometimes of Catholicism, other times not. And it's up there and that's all you can see. But the conciliar church is not the Catholic church. It doesn't have the four marks. It doesn't have the valid mass or sacraments. It doesn't have the authority from Christ. The church is eclipsed there. That explains it. That explains the confusion. I mean, the stumbling around in the dark, the knocking over furniture, the panic, and all of the disputes and the discussions. I think the light is here. No, the light's over on that wall. And no one knows. It's all dark. There's no light at the moment. No wonder there is no authority. And everybody's got a different idea as to what should be done and how it should be done. And no one can quite agree on the question of the Pope or of the Mass or all of the rest. And it seems there are only divisions. The church will be eclipsed. And finally, another element of an eclipse, you don't feel the warmth of the sun. That explains the certain coldness among so many Catholics today, a coldness towards God and the things of God. You see it in daily or weekly church attendance or not. Sometimes it's a shocking thing almost. How could this be? You see it in relations between among Catholics. How can they be so cruel to each other? How can they treat anyone that way, much less a fellow Catholic? Well, there's no warmth. There is no warmth. It's all cold. We put our hands in our own pockets and stumble home in a hurry. Ah, the church is eclipsed. That's something we know, at least. Still, there remains so much we do not know about the day or the hour of the coming of our Lord in glory at the end and the restoration just before the end. But we do know the gospel of love. And we do know that should we forget it, the good God will dispatch his mother, Our Lady, to bring a little of warmth and a little of light and a little of love to this dark, confused world of ours. And that will have to be enough for us, enough for now. It is true, there are sometimes terrible discouragements, and they press heavily upon us. And we think of the just judgments of God. But we remember, too, that no one will be lost among those who place their hope in Our Lady and who pray to her. She is, in a sense, the summing up of the gospel and of the church and of our faith. She said this at La Salette, and as we contemplate this terrible secret we are living today, remember these words. Up. Up, ye children of light, for behold, the age of ages, the end, the extremity, is at hand. The church passes into darkness. The world will be in a state of consternation, perplexity, and confusion. Up, ye children of the light. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.